In 1997, we saw the Blair Witch film come out. The plot of the film basically is three students go missing in the woods while trying to film a documentary about the Blair Witch, which is an area where ritualistic murders have taken place and the reports of incidents still going on. They go missing, just leaving the film footage of which they've shot. The idea is not a new one. In 1980, Italian students made the film Cannibal Holocaust, in which documentary filmmakers go out looking for a cannibal tribe and they don't come back, just leaving the film that they shot. And the film was in fact banned in many countries for being too harrowing and too realistic. When the filmmakers started looking for actors, they told them that it's a documentary film about true events, and they were told to prepare to be for a lot of hiking and camping. The three actors playing the parts were Heather Donahue, Mitch Williams and Jason Leonard. They were given a couple of days training with using a camera. They were told that there were incidents still going on. They were given a GPS position to get to, marched into the Maryland wilderness and told to film their experiences. Once at the GPS position, they were got to their first night's sleep before meeting the film crew in the morning. The filmmakers would give take the film off them, give them a very brief plot and give them an idea of the script they wanted, and then they were given a GPS position to get to and told to get there. And of course the filmmakers were pretty sure that they would stumble on the sites that they had prepared, such as shallow graves, torture sites and anything they could think of to scare the willies out of them. At first they thought of making a romantic twist between Heather or one of the two boys, but after the first night it was very clear that Heather was very unhappy about being with two boys alone in the wood, and the filmmakers then told the boys to antagonise her, just thus creating more genuine tension between the actors. The morning meetings got earlier and earlier, and the crew thought of ways to keep them up at night by running away, running around, making noises, just being complete dicks. And the food they came in the morning got less and less, them claiming that they had lost food. And it's just basically made the three tired actors, even more tension and taut between the characters, is what they wanted. After 8 days of acting, the actors were told that the film was over and the whole thing would be made up. And I don't know how they reacted, but I wouldn't have been too happy. But the filmmakers' real genius of this was they had a website which showed the day's clips, all portrayed as reality, and this got a huge online people coming onto their site, and actually people came up to the Maryland sites looking for the actors. After 8 days of shooting, the filmmakers had 36 hours of tape to edit, down to 78 minutes. There's all sorts of stories which I don't know, true or not. One of the cameras is supposed to have been sent back to the shop for a refund, and the Maryland hunting ground was supposed to be ruined because for years afterwards there were people trying to recreate the Blair Witch experience on their own cameras. But the film was a huge success. It was made... Oh no, one more fact. The film has 154 fucks in it. The film was made for $600,000, which is more than I thought. But it released when it was it made 248 million. In 1979, we saw the Australian thriller action movie Mad Max. This was the brainchild of George Miller and Brian Kenny, who had met at summer film school, which is basically people who are interested in films go to summer film school. They met, they came up with a script, and then they started to look to finance the screenplay, and they did this, a lot of it, by themselves. George for working overtime, and Kenny by working for George as a driver when he went on call. And through this, they raised 400,000 Australian dollars, which you could probably cut in half if you talk about US or even by a third if you're talking about British pounds. Of course, Mad Max is Mel Gibson's first leading role, and when turning up for casting, Mel Gibson, in fact, was not casting for himself. He was there supporting a friend. In fact, Mel Gibson was there black and blue because he had been in a bar fight. But he obviously caught someone's eye because someone asked him to return in 3 weeks' time when he had recovered. In fact, when he did come back, the people who he had saw didn't even recognise him. But he was cast, and of course he got the part. The film was shot over 7 weeks, and the car used was, or Mad Max's car used was a Pursuit Special, and a limited edition GT361 version. And after filming, the car was up for sale, but no one seemed to want it, so it was handed to Murray Smith, who was a film mechanic. The budget of the film, as I said, was around Australian dollars, and the box office success was $8.7 million, so very successful. In 1975, we were introduced to the world of Rocky Balboa and Rocky, the small-time boxer. This is, of course, written and starred by Sylvester Stallone. And the inspiration of the film was the fight between Muhammad Ali and Chuck Wepner. Most people didn't really think the fight would last two or three rounds, but the fights lasted a whole 15, with Ali winning on with a technical knockout in the 15th. But the main script and the storyline, what Sylvester Stallone said, is that it was his personal experiences as a struggling actor, and he just transposed that into a boxing. It was in 1970 that Sylvester Stallone got his first starring role in a soft porn film called Party and Kitty and the Studs. And according to Sylvester Stallone, it was either take the part or go and mug someone for some money. It was in 1974 that he actually wrote Rocky, and he sent it to Irene Welkener, who liked it, who then sent it to United Artists, who liked it. But they wanted to change some scenes, and it was a very dark plot. In fact, the part of Mickey, the rather lovable coach, was in fact a racist alcoholic who did not like Rocky at all. And at the end of the film, Rocky threw the fight, because he just did not want to be part of the boxing scene anymore. He thought it was... United Artists liked the picture, and they wanted to put someone like Robert Redford, James Caan, Ryan O'Neill, or even Burt Williams into the lead role. But Sylvester Stallone fought for and campaigned for the part, and said he would never forgive himself if he let this part go. It wasn't a big budget, and finding casting people for the main parts was a problem, but it also provided golden opportunities for other actors, and you can't imagine anyone else playing people like Burt Young playing the part of Paulie, and Burgess Meredith playing the part of Mickey. You just can't imagine anyone else playing those two parts. In fact, both of those actors were nominated for Oscars that year. They didn't win, but they were nominated. The part of Apollo Creed was going to be played by ex-professional boxer Ken Norton, who pulled out of the film just before it started, something he might have regretted. The Philadelphia steps where he runs up, there is a statue, and that migrates from the bottom of the steps to the top of the steps every couple of years. In my view, it should be at the top. The film was made for $1 million, and it grossed $255 million, and it received 3 Oscars for the best film, best director, and best editing. The whole shoot of Rocky took 28 days. In 1978, we saw the American slasher movie Halloween. This was written by John Carpenter and then girlfriend Debbie Hall. The idea of the film came about when producer Irene Lablan saw Assault on Precinct 13 in 1976. That was actually made for £100,000. And so impressed was he with the film that he sought out Carpenter and asked him to write a script. John Carpenter, when he came up with the script, was so enthusiastic about the script that he agreed not to take any fees from the script. In fact, he only took a $10,000 money for directing, but he actually directed, wrote it, and composed the music for it. But he retained 10% rights of any film profits. When it came to the plot is basically a child killer who murders his older sister is then sent to a mental institution, and 16 years later he escapes the institution and returns home only to stalk a teenage babysitter and her friends. When it came to casting for the role of a psychiatrist, Mr. Loomes, it was in fact Christopher Lee who sent the script and liked it. But he had to refuse the part because the $20,000 wasn't worth his while, and Christopher Lee said that it was probably the worst decision he made in his career. The part of the psychiatrist went to another British actor, Donald Pleasance, who actually played the baddie in a Bond movie. And the casting of Laurie, the teenage girl, that was originally going to be given to Anne Lockhart, but she was committed to a TV show, and Jamie Lee Curtis already had auditioned for it. And when they asked her in again, they found out that Jamie Lee Curtis was the daughter of Janet Lee, the girl who played in Psycho, and they thought this would be great free publicity for the film. So she got the part, and she was paid $8,000. The part of the Sharp, or Mike Myers, was played by Nick Castle, and he was paid $25 a day, and he was a friend of John Carpenter. But he went on to do better things. He made he directed The Last Starfighter, Dennis the Menace, and Major Payne. So he did all right. The props were on the low side. The actual mask of Mike Myers was in fact a Captain Kirk mask from a shop, and if they just cut it up and decorated it, and that was bought for $2 from one of the shops. And Jamie Lee Curtis's wardrobe apparently was just $100. The film was shot completely in 20 days, and the actual budget of the film was $325,000, and the box office success was 70 million, so I did all right. The last film I'm going to talk about is the most successful film, in terms of money-wise. It's called Paranormal Activity, and I've never heard of this one. The general plot is that two new couples move into a house, and the female couple admits that she's been haunted since childhood, and at which time that Micah, the male partner, puts up a camera to record what goes on each night, and it starts about they hear footfalls and banging on the walls, lights flickering, and it just progresses from there. In an attempt to focus on a more believable film, the writer, director, editor, Oran Peli, decided to shoot the film on a home video camera, which spent most of its time on a tripod, so there was no need for crew, no need for sound people. In fact, Oran Peli auditioned hundreds of people before he settled on Kate Featherstone and Micah Slough, and that they were paid $500 for the 7-day shoot originally. They got paid a bit more when it became a success. The film was released in 2007, and it impressed a lot of people. At first with Miramax, who wanted to work with Peli, and they offered him a bigger contract to make a second film. And the original idea was to stick the first film at the end of the DVD of the second film. But Peli fought for the film, and he actually said He agreed to a screen test with 500 people, and they agreed with that. And when in the screen test, when people started walking out, they thought that the film was bombing. And when they asked the people why they were leaving, they said that it was just too frightening, which must have been music to their ears. On hearing this, DreamWorks then purchased the film for $350,000. They tinkered with the ending a little bit and re-released it in 2009. The original film was made for $15,000, and the box office success was $163 million. And since then, there has been a paranormal activity 2, 3, 4, and there's going to be a power activity 5 on the way.